It is far. It is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Hello and welcome in to the Nosebleeds Podcast, WFUV Sports' exclusive baseball podcast. A special one today because this is the first episode since opening day. I don't know if I can say since the season started because there's the Seoul Series games last week, but opening day was a couple days ago as of recording, and now all 30 teams are in full swing. So exciting episode. I'm Brian Raybax, fired up to be here today with Matty Bamonte and Grace McCarron. Guys, baseball is like fully back. And I know like March Madness is going on right now, but listen, we're a baseball crew here. Who cares about any of that other stuff? The Yankees are back. The Mets are back. We get to watch all our favorite teams. The Colorado Rockies are playing again. Fun time. How are you all doing? Excited to be here, guys.
You know, I'm excited to be here after being on spring break and completely burning myself to a crisp. And the one thing I wanted to do was watch baseball this week. And I'm doing that. And I'm very excited about it. As excited as you can be to watch the Mets. So looking forward to another great season where we play some meaningful games in August.
Yeah, absolutely. I always look forward to opening day. It's like a national holiday, I think. I mean, the Mets are not off to the best start so far, but I'm optimistic. There's obviously a lot of season left, and if we get the bad stuff out of the way early, maybe it will improve down the line. So I'm looking forward to it.
Maybe. That's a solid mindset. Weirdly, like, going into opening day, I just, like, it didn't feel real because I was on spring break and, like, just wasn't able to really, like, settle in that, like, baseball was back. And I was concerned because on my flight home from break, it was right during the Yankees opening game. So I was concerned I wasn't going to watch it, but it's okay. My flight got delayed 5 hours, so I was able to watch the entire Yankees game. And just like one general thing that I think we should touch on before getting into anything, seeing them like full, like in person, like live in front of us, these Fanatic jerseys are awful. Like, I know we made a big deal about it in spring training, but they are dreadful to see. Every single name on the back is so small. These jerseys seem so poorly put together. You saw every single Yankee is sweating through their jersey, and it's just a disaster, especially Carlos Rodon. That guy was drenched. This shouldn't be happening. Like, they shouldn't look like this. Disaster. Had to get that off my chest first.
I agree, and I was more upset because they tarnished what could have been the best jerseys in the league and then ruined them with the Mets black jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Look actually the like awful. The lining is all wrong. It is just like the cheapest looking jersey from eBay. I don't know what was going through their minds when they decided to do that, but it is like the worst thing I've ever seen, and it makes me so upset because I wanted to buy a black jersey this year, and now I'm not going to. Thanks, Fanatics.
And you know what? You shouldn't.
Yeah.
I shouldn't spend my money on that. I deserve better quality.
Yeah. I fear for the summer, guys. Like the Bronx Heat for the Yankees. I fear for these players.
No.
Now they're going to sweat through these jerseys.
Oh, it's going to be terrible,
like,
right?
Yeah. Arizona. Like all the super hot climates. I'm worried for those players. Obviously, this is terrible. Terrible look for the league. Terrible look for Fanatics. And I'm very disappointed.
Do the Yankees go on a West Coast swing in the summer? That would be
really
upsetting. If they're in Anaheim in like July,
yeah,
have fun. Yeah, just a terrible look. The names are all so small. It's just, what are we doing here? Like, at least act like we're a professional league. It's, I don't even want to like talk about it anymore. It's everything that's been said needs to be said. Let's get into some actual ball here. So, you guys are both big Mets fans and passionately root on the Mets, try to hope that they're good every year, and then kind of already reality is kind of sitting in. Is that where we're finding ourselves? Because the Mets, gorgeous day for opening day on Friday. They got rained out Thursday. Gorgeous day. Spring's like here, and they get one hit and lose to the Milwaukee Brewers. So, not a pleasant opening day. Starling Marte home run in the second inning. Only sort of offense at all. And it's just kind of, I don't know. How do we feel about this start to the season? Maddie, we can give it to you first. Is it sort of a sign of things to come? Are they going to bounce back from this? Just what are our current thoughts given that they lose opening day and even now they're already down early as of recording on Saturday? Just general thoughts in Queens, in Mets right now. How are we feeling?
So I actually wouldn't say that I feel bad. If anything, this feels normal. This is what I expected. When this happened yesterday, seeing the one hit loss, I was like, this is normal. This is what I've been watching for the past like 3 seasons. I'm used to this. So I'm not really panicked, to be honest with you, because I like it's my new normal. It's how I feel. I honestly though wasn't expecting the Quintana start. I thought it was going to be McGill for the longest time. It didn't end up being him. And he was fine. I am obviously more satisfied with him than I am satisfied with what's going on today with Severino. But you know, there's just a couple questions with me for going forward with this season. Number one, Brett Beatty, just at the plate, I really need to see him improve. He did not really have the best of seasons last year in terms of how he was approaching hitting compared to how we saw Alvarez, how we saw Vientos when he came up. I will be interested to see what he can do in the bottom half of the lineup because he was not really impressing me at the plate. And Marte was kind of a interesting change of events that he got a home run yesterday. He was the last person I was expecting to get a home run on opening day. It's going to be a year to see if he can turn things around with how up in the air he has been in injury wise. Just health concerns have been up with me about him. I've counted him out honestly going into this season and starting off with
Probably
a
the right
home run
call,
kind of looks
too.
great. Yeah, but I don't know. It's pitching went downhill in the fifth again. Seems like the normal. Like this was not anything more than routine Mets game for me. Against the Brewers, I'm not surprised, but the Brewers are also having management change this year. So I was expecting maybe some competitiveness against them. I don't know. I'm not counting this opening series as like my benchmark yet. I'm just gonna say this is the normal, and I'm gonna deal with the normal for now.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty horrified by the offensive performance yesterday. Obviously, happy for Marte getting a home run. I kind of thought maybe that would give them a little push offensively for the rest of the game. It didn't. Freddy Peralta for the Brewers looking like a Cy Young candidate, honestly. I didn't know he was this good, to be honest, but 6 innings and one hit against the Mets, that was pretty awesome of him. And the Brewers are a good team, so I'm not like, so, you know, it's over yet, but I am worried about how the offense just had nothing after having not a terrible spring, too. Like, it's not like they were not hitting at all during the spring. It's just that in opening day, they could not get a hit for some reason. So, I'm not saying it's over yet. I think there's a lot of talent on this team, but if they keep playing like this, and as we said, the pitching is. Quintana was fine, but Severino right now is not doing so great. If the pitching keeps up like this, it's not going to be good. So I just think the offense definitely needs a boost.
You know what yesterday felt like? Yesterday felt like a DeGrom start, didn't it?
This is why I felt so good. I was like, oh my God, we're back. We're never more back. This is how
One
everything's
hit,
gone.
one run, 3-1 loss. That's a Jacob DeGrom start during his
The
best.
fact that the one hit was a home run. We getting on base, driving in a run, no. It was a
Nope.
barely making it over the wall home run from Marte.
Yeah.
And listen, the Brewers, they're Solid squad, a couple new additions that really made a big impact yesterday. Rhys Hoskins, how about him? What, I mean, I'm sure you guys have a lot to say about him. Just, this is a safe space, Grace. Just like, get everything out that you need to. Just
Yeah.
let it out. Safe space.
Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to point out that when Hoskins called Jeff McNeil a crybaby, he was doing it from the Brewers dugout. So he was
Oh.
clearly afraid to face up to Jeff McNeil, who's not that big of a guy. Like, he could have easily taken him, but whatever. Yeah, we know that Rhys Hoskins has a history with the Mets. There was the incident with Jacob Rheim in 2019. Obviously, that's 5 years ago now, but apparently that is still resonating. Rhys Hoskins was just came from the Phillies, obviously a hated rival of the Mets. So we know that this happens with him, but I do think it's interesting that this happened like on opening day, fresh out of the gate, like, oh, we're already yelling at each other. And I'm interested to see how today Carlos Mendoza reacts. Like, does he tell his pitchers to plunk Rhys Hoskins like some people seem to think he should, or does he just let it go? I think this will be telling for what the manager is going to do. Did he like really stick up for Jeff McNeil and say like, hey, stick it to Rhys Hoskins a little, or does he say, guys, we can't be doing this. It's the second game of the season. Let's just let it go.
I don't like him. And
Wow.
I've never liked him. And you know what? This is a bigger picture question. I mean, people have gone back and forth on what the legality of the slide. It obviously was
Dirty
fine.
slide. He slid very late.
I
Yeah.
know. But my question, I was talking about this earlier with my dad, is that I don't know why the umpires wouldn't take a stronger stance on this in the first game of the season rather than let this continue, like let something like this open the door for more people to do this down the line. Like they have now ruled, yes, that slide was safe. You know, you can argue about it all you want, the way he came into it. Now you're kind of like, in a way, almost opening the door to be like, well, they ruled this one was safe. What can you get away with now in terms of it? So I'm interested to know if there's like any bounce back in like umpire territory on whether or not maybe they should have done something more about this. But I don't know. The point is, I don't like him. I don't like any Philly player that's kind of known.
Wow, zero.
Zero. Yeah, some of the Phillies players' dogs are cute, but the rest of them.
That they have that.
They have that going for them, but the team kind of sucks. Bryce Harper's come around, but he's ex now, so it's like, you know,
Yeah.
it's I don't know how I feel. But anyway, point being is it was an overslide, like Grace said, and he waited to taunt. So it was just kind
Yeah,
of
the whole doing it from the dugout thing is not very intimidating. Like, that's kind of a
no.
soft move on his end. At
It
least
is.
like get in his face. He's doing the also like the crying, like that's
Like
not even
grow
like a good
up.
taunt,
Well,
exactly,
yeah.
right?
His post game too, when he was getting interviewed by the media, he was just like, I like the guy's just upset for no reason. Maybe they should translate that to hitting or something. And I was like, what are you, his coach? Stop talking about him that way. Like it was the craziest like interactions that they're having. And I don't know. I think that yes, that was a big deal for the game and everything. I think also on the Brewers side, more interestingly, Churiel looked phenomenal in the
Oh,
outfield
yeah.
yesterday. Got a big shout out to him because I believe it was his MLB debut,
It
and he
was.
looked great out there. Also shocking me, Christian Yelich getting a home run, which was I forgot about him for a while. Like I haven't heard of him in ages.
He's sneaky, still very good, and people, he's not the MVP guy that he was, but he's still like
You know
sneaky.
what
Like,
it is? You know what it is? It's
what is
because
it?
it's the Cody Bellinger Renaissance. And ever since Cody Bellinger and Christian Yelich had a thing like going at each other, then now they're both coming back and we're both going to have that again. That's what it
You
is.
know what? That would be a lot of fun if they
Yeah.
competed for the MVP again. How about that?
For here.
And also, Rhys Hoskins feels like I could see him as like a little league baseball coach that just takes it way too seriously.
He does.
That's
Yes.
his post game remarks, like Come on. Dirty slide. And you know what? I'm glad you guys were able to vent your frustrations. Just let it all out about him. And but even today, like there's still some concerns, like Severino. I'm not very surprised to see him first inning, three runs, top of the second. Now I'm looking, there's two base runners on. So
Oh my
this might be
God.
another short, like 5 run, 6 run. He's out after the first couple of innings. 'Cause we saw that a lot last year with the Yanks. I don't know. Not a great start to the year for Sevy.
My thing is the fact that William Contreras already got a hit off of Severino today, and William Contreras yesterday was swinging at balls that were so close to the ground that I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is a major league hitter. So the fact that he's already 1 for 1 today against Severino really makes you think.
Yeah.
At
Which is
least to have the chance
upsetting.
to just.
Yeah. I'm like upset by this because he had such a great spring. And I was like, maybe he'll turn it around. But it's hard to turn things around when you become a Met. I feel like it usually goes the other way for players. All of a sudden, they're not good anymore. So, not happy with this at all.
How many former Yankees have gone to the Mets and like had a renaissance there? Like zero, right? I'm trying to think of.
I mean, not even a renaissance, but like Adam Ottavino's fine.
Yeah. David Robertson was good for the Mets, but
Yeah.
that was not directly from the Yankees to the Mets.
No, certainly not. And yeah, just like, do guys go to the Mets and like find themselves again? Like, not entirely. It's not really a turnaround destination. So I don't know. There's still just a lot of question marks with the Mets. I mean, the rotation, I've kind of said this on this podcast in the past. It's gonna be tough without Kodai Senga for a couple of months. That's what it's looking like. And Luis Severino's leaving a lot left to be desired, and we'll see what the rest of the rotation can end up doing tomorrow. It's McGill. So we'll see what he's got. Is this the big year he breaks out? Who knows? Never know what could happen.
No,
But
I will say too, the lineup has the pitching is one thing. The pitching in New York across the board for both teams is like it's in a down year. It's been in a down year, so I'm not really expecting much hitting wise. Another thing that I was also confused about was until like the day before opening day, Carlos Mendoza was like, I don't know who our DH is. And I was like, that's kind of confusing. I don't
you
know what
don't
that's about.
know,
You
like.
don't know. Like, you haven't made a decision yet. Like, and then DJ Stewart ends up out there, which is fine. Better DH than like what we previously had in Vogelbach. But, Vientos is still waiting for another shot. Other young guys are waiting for a shot. So I'll be interested to see how this lineup plays out throughout the year. But the way we're seeing hitting wise, I mean, it's
Well,
gonna be something.
let's see what happens today. There's still a zero on the scoreboard, but they've only played one inning, so we'll see what the lineup ends up becoming. Because there is talent in that lineup. I don't think Starling Marte is back at all, just because he hit a home run. I still think he's getting old and whatever. Lindor is what he is. Alonso will hit his home runs, so I don't know. We'll find out. But the Mets so far, rocky start to the season, could be better. I don't think there's a panic button being hit anywhere, but it's kind of like, here we go again, a little bit. There's some of that sentiment. We'll move on to the Yankees. The Yankees have really kind of fired me up to start this season. Just excellent start. They're 2-0, two big wins over the Houston Astros on the road. So doing a nice job taking care of a good team. Opening day was really the Juan Soto day. Had a big hit in that fifth inning to drive in a run, threw out a guy at home plate, threw out the tying run. So far, he's just making all the difference on that team. And I think that this is just kind of what we're going to see offensively the entire year, where teams can't pitch around Judge and they have to attack him. They have to attack Soto because there's no real, like, easy out in that lineup as it stands right now. And I really like that feeling. It's very comforting and makes them a lot more enjoyable to watch. You think back to last year, there were so many moments of they were running out Jake Bowers, Billy McKinney, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and Peraza, like every single day. And it was just like so mind-numbing. But now, if everyone stays healthy, we're past that. So far, the Yankees have been a delight ever since the first inning of that game where Nestor gave up three runs. I didn't love that. I thought the game was over right there. But the Yankees so far, fire me up. They are where they should be and just have me really excited for the rest of the season, guys.
I know you're probably overjoyed that your two slot is no longer Jake Bowers and it's Juan Soto.
I love it.
Yeah,
Love
I
it.
know. It must be nice
It
because.
is the most freeing feeling in the entire world. And also, Jake Bowers, nice little pinch hit yesterday in the Mets game, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Jake Bowers, man.
Jake
What a
Bowers,
player.
shout out him. But you know what? I'm so glad Soto's working out for you. I really am.
Thank you.
True. You know what? Because he was really getting wasted on the West Coast with the Padres. I don't like the Padres. I also don't like the Yankees, but you know, at least he's getting some reps in here. But what I have, okay, so a couple different things. One, they're trying to pitch around Soto. They tried to in the first game, and it did not work. It just was not working for them, and they picked up that early on, and it didn't, it was good. Second, I don't know why people on Twitter, maybe I'm the only one seeing this, but people were being like, oh, well, like, forget about Judge. Soto is like our guy this year and everything. And I'm like, you can say that a little bit, but who has been the person carrying the heaviest load of this team
Yeah.
for so long to be like, he does not matter anymore. Like, it's just like people are just like, I think blowing this Soto thing now out of proportion that he is now the only person on this team in people's minds when you have Judge on your team really there. My other big thing in the lineup first, before I even talk about pitching, I still don't like him and I still think he sucks and I don't care if he has a good year. Giancarlo Stanton is never going to be good again. He is the
Hey,
Steve Marte of your team.
he's slimmed down.
He is,
He's skinny
I don't
now.
care that he's skinny. He's still the Sterling Marte of your team. And I don't see this man recovering in any standards.
Listen, he beat out a slow roller to third base on opening day. I don't care that Bregman let it go to the bag and there was no play at first. He was hustling down the line, infield single. I'm calling it that. And then, yeah, just ripped a bullet home run last night. So far, not too bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Marte comparisons, don't know. Former MVP we're talking about here.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, I don't know if he'll ever return to his MVP caliber that he was in 2017 with Miami, but I don't know. I still think he's a solid piece for them to have. Obviously, he's on a huge contract. He's probably not going anywhere. But I mean, I love this Juan Soto performance, obviously. As I think Aaron Judge put it properly, classic Yankee game for his debut. Little bit of come from behind. He had a laser throw home. He singled home their first run of the game. I mean, if this is what he's going to be for them the whole season, I hope for their sake they resign him in the off season. I hope for my sake that he comes to the Mets, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
You know what? Actually, this might be a good time to just bring that conversation up. There's too many Mets fans who are saying, yeah, enjoy your 1 year with him. He's coming to us next year. And it's like, stop. Like, do you get enjoyment out of just beating a dead horse and just being like, oh, you can't enjoy him. He's going to be a Met next year anyway. It doesn't matter. Will you just let me have my year of Juan Soto in peace? And he might stay with the Yankees. So maybe 1 or 11 years. I don't care. Just enough.
Okay, well, I have something to say on that, but I also have something else to say. Alvarez just hit a solo home run.
I saw that.
But secondly, I also agree. As a Mets fan, I think it is annoying because we are like day two of season and we're already being like, yeah, we can't wait for next year. Can we have like a series? Can we have one series before we start doing this? Because that's great and all, but it's actually ridiculous. Like, it's
You know,
actually.
I don't think either of you guys fall under this umbrella, but like you could focus a little bit on 2024, right? Like you don't have to just be like, oh, next year, it's our year. Like the Mets could be good, right? So just
Yeah.
like have some fun in the moment, right? That's
I
fun.
hate, yeah, I hate the mentality of wait till next year. Like it's been, we had that for so long under the Wilpons, and now it's either every year, like we're going to the World Series, or wait till next year. And I just hate that because it t takes the enjoyment out of the game itself. Like I just love watching baseball, even when the Mets are bad. Like it's such a wonderful game. And I don't like having to be like, well, wait till the off season when Juan Soto gets here, because A, you don't know if he's going to come here. I don't know why he would at this point if the team's going to play like this. And B, like, enjoy the season, enjoy the players you have. Like, you don't know if Pete Alonso is going to come back after next year. Just enjoy the game and worry about the off season in December, I think.
Well, you
And
know, I.
C, to that point, if he even goes to the Mets, there is no guarantee he is the same player. This is how
Exactly.
it just happens.
every big superstar that goes to the Mets does not do the same things they did somewhere else. To that, I don't know why people think that something is going to change. It's not even like them, it's us. I don't know what it is.
Max Scherzer. I mean, can you say it about Lindor too? Probably, right? Big
Not
time.
to say, however, Verlander was also like injury prone.
Yeah. But listen, like in terms of focusing on this year, the Yankees are, I think, primed for a huge year. I don't know if this is just me getting up after a 2-0 start, but I really like the way that they've started. And listen, outside of the Nestor first inning, the pitching has been pretty good. They've given up one run in their last 16 innings. So the bullpen obviously is fantastic. It is seemingly every year. And Carlos Rodon had a solid start yesterday, only gave up a run, which is better than some of his outings last year. So I'll give him that. He kind of labored through some innings and was taken out pretty early on in the game. But the Yankees like need Rodon to be the like second ace that he was supposed to be when they signed him, especially with Cole out for probably until the summer. So I think that Rodon is so important to the success of the Yankees. And Nick Palmer even said in the Yankees beat report that he thinks that Rodon's going to have an electric year. He also said that he thinks they're winning 107 games, which is a lot of wins. I don't know if you guys want to talk about that prediction, but 107 is a lot. But Rodon, maybe he's the big piece of that. I don't know.
I don't think you can say 107 with Gerrit Cole out right now. I really
Yeah.
don't. That's my personal opinion. I will say Rodon, and I was talking about this too a couple weeks ago, that he is this major piece that we're dealing with. And I think the most important thing was in this start, is that he had his velocity back up to normal, because in spring training he was really fluctuating with that, and it was concerning to me that he wasn't pitching near
I was
90.
getting worried.
He wasn't pitching near 98, and I was
Yeah.
like, and they kept saying it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. I was like, well, is he injured? Is something wrong? Like, what's going on? And he pitched up to his velocity over his last start. So I'm less concerned about him now than I was with some of the questions I had in spring training of, okay, he's trying out new pitches and his velocity is not up. What's going on? If he continues to pitch the way he pitched last night, even if it's in and out of trouble, I'm much more, I think, happy to see him succeed than like previously. It's just a matter of like if he's going to be able to keep up his command all season, and that's what it's going to be looking like for him.
Yeah, I think he should feel good about this start, even though it was four innings. Like, it's a good starting point considering where he was last season. His ERA was, I believe it was over six, which is
It
just,
was.
you don't want that at all. But obviously, from theoretically right now, your number two starter, like, you want him to go more than four innings. And I think, Maddie, what you said about Gerrit Cole and how they're not going to get to that many wins without him, I think that's absolutely correct, because he is going to carry that rotation. Hopefully Marcus Stroman is also decent for them, but they really need Gerrit Cole. And I don't know if when they play the big guns in the rest of the league how the pitching will match up and if the offense will be able to make up for the pitching issues that they're experiencing.
It's just health, I think, that's like the biggest factor to that. Like, Nestor Cortez is going to be good if he's healthy. Last year, he wasn't healthy and he wasn't great. He struggled. Carlos Rodon last year wasn't healthy and he obviously struggled greatly. Maddie, you're pretty upset. It's the Mets score, isn't it?
Reese Hoskins just hit a home run.
Oh my God.
It's the worst day ever. Why?
Wow.
Maybe it is over. Maybe I was wrong.
Why? Anybody but him today. What's going on? Oh, can someone get on Twitter right now and tell me how long the home run trot was?
I'm
If
gonna
it's
I'm gonna
like,
find out, but
if it's above 25
you know
seconds.
what? I hope it was an absolute no doubter. I hope it was 450 feet. The Brewers tweeted silent the crowd at Rhys Hoskins.
Oh man.
Someone, I'll look this up later because we don't have time, but I need to know how long this home run trot
Three hundred
was.
88 feet. So not a bomb.
Right.
Wow.
Hold on.
What
At
a
least it wasn't a bomb.
poetic justice. He silenced all those Mets fans that were calling him out. Wow. And apparently he was still mocking Jeff McNeil today. He was still doing the crying thing in the dugout.
Yeah, he was.
He can he like get over it? Like it's yesterday. I feel like we need a
He
new thing
started doing
today.
that all
Problem is
time.
we can't because he just hit the home run. So now I feel like
Yeah.
this is literally the worst situation ever. This is like they have to throw at him now. There's like no chance. They have
Oh,
to throw at him.
if they throw at him though, like someone's getting taught. Maybe just put in Drew Smith and have him just throw at him and he can
Oh,
get
because Drew Smith won't just throw at him. He will do it on accident and it'll whack him in the
lost.
head.
And he'll do it in like a big situation too.
And it'll be like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah. I don't know. Kind of just like was a total like left turn from the Yankees talk, but you know what? It needed to happen. Rhys Hoskins has dominated this podcast, which you know what? I think is what he wanted after the events of yesterday. So, wow. Rhys Hoskins off of Severino, ruining the days here. Sorry, guys. You guys don't deserve that.
I know it,
Yeah.
especially the first week of baseball. Can we? Why couldn't this be like a June thing? Like it's
Right.
a
June swoon.
June soon. It's a March thing. This
Yep.
sucks.
Well, I guess to wrap up my Yankees point, health, big thing. Already kind of seeing concerns. Gleyber Torres came out of the game last night. X-rays on his thumb were negative, but that's another infielder you don't want to lose with DJ already out. Peraza is going to be out for a while. So the depth there is a little kind of funky if he ends up going on the IL. Juan Soto even got checked out by the trainers last night, which was really scary. But overall, whatever. The Yankees are off to a great start. They got another game tonight and their 4-game set against the Astros. And then we'll just see how the rest of this season goes. To move off of New York, I just want to talk general opening day here and kind of we'll do a fun, like, biggest winners of opening day, biggest losers. So this can be literally anything you could select. It could be an entire team, it could be one player, it could be like a niche, like, kind of group or something. Whatever it ends up being, we can just have some fun with it. So I think we'll start biggest winner of opening day. I'll throw mine out first. I'm gonna say the umpiring crew at the Rangers Cubs game because they got bailed out so badly with that missed call on top of the ninth that led the Cubs to taking the lead. But then former Met Travis Jankowski tied it up in the bottom of the ninth, and the Rangers didn't end up losing their first game after the World Series on a blown call. So the umpiring crew got to take a sigh of relief. So I'm picking them as my biggest winner of opening day, which I like personally. So give some love to the umps, right?
Yeah, especially when you see some bad umps throughout the league. You want to see some good. Highlight the good.
Exactly.
So my biggest winner is actually going to be a player, and it's going to be Corbin Burns.
Oh,
Because
yeah.
what a great start for a team that really I have a lot riding on this year in terms of my expectations, because I really think that the Orioles have a lot to offer in the AL East. And starting off the first game of the season for them, first off, so funny for a couple different reasons. There is no team, maybe save the Mets, that can do what the Angels do in terms of Mike Trout goes out and hits a home run for your team, just absolutely does everything that he can, and you lose 11-3. It's actually incredible how the Angels work with Mike Trout. I can't fathom it.
You feel bad,
You feel so.
especially this team.
I can't say it, and it's just crazy. But you bring in Corbin Burns for your pitching for the Orioles this year in this really now stacked league with what the Yankees are doing hitting wise. You need another team to kind of compete with that. And Corbin Burns comes out with 11 strikeouts, just completely wipes the floor with the Angels. But with in his opening day start, brand new team, does what he needs to do. And he looked exceptional out there. And so I'm happy to see him succeed like this. The Orioles need good pitching to compete with the Yankees in this division. And I think they could give the Yankees a run for their money if they really continue their hot streak going forward. So Corbin Burns gets my winner of opening day. Mike Trout, wish you could be a winner too. You would just never are winning ever.
Hey, you're always a winner in our books, Mike Trout.
He's a
Always.
winner to me.
Grace, how about you?
I'm gonna go Tyler O'Neill for the Boston Red Sox.
Ooh.
He homered on his fifth consecutive opening day. That's now
Crazy.
record most in history, which I think is kind of crazy because I never really think of Tyler O'Neill as being a big home run guy. But he was tied with four consecutive for with Gary Carter and Yogi Berra, two Hall of Famers. So good for him. I think that's a fun little stat for him to brag about.
He stands alone now. And it's like, I don't think people like picked up on this at all because it just like, I don't know. Do you keep track of that with his home runs with the Cardinals and all that? I don't think like people, I didn't know about this until he actually like did it. So elite company, like good for him. But yeah, just a really like cool stat, I would say. So I like that pick. So we got umpires in Texas, Corbin Burns, and Tyler O'Neill. Nice job, everyone. But now let's get into the more fun. Let's talk about the losers of opening day. And oh, wow, there were a lot of losers that can certainly be talked about here. Grace, I'll throw it to you first. There's a lot of options here, and we can talk about a lot, but who's sticking out to you as a big down point on opening day?
I'm going to go an entire team, and it's the Colorado Rockies,
Yep,
who,
I like that.
yeah, this is a continuous theme for the Rockies. They lost 16-1 on opening day to the Diamondbacks, who were just in the World Series, so I'm not surprised. But specifically, Arizona scored 14 runs in the third inning, which is the most
Odd.
on opening day in the modern era. So that was certainly, I would not want to be watching that as a Rocky fan. And specifically, also, there were pictures circulating of Chris Bryant looking very sad for the Rockies. He went from Chicago's hero when they won in 2016, and now he's on this team. He does have a huge contract, so like he's making money. So obviously, that part is not so bad, but to be on this team that never competes is just really tough to watch for. Former Rookie of the Year and MVP.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go in a different direction. There's two answers to this one. One
Ooh.
is to my loser of opening day is to every sports writer ever that said that the Cardinals were going to win their division this year, and then second to the entire Cardinals lineup
Wow.
because I'm was sick of the narrative that the Cardinals were going to be the best team in their division this year. Where was that coming from when you saw that first game against the Dodgers? And I don't want to hear that it was against the Dodgers, so they get a thing. You pitched against Tyler Glasnow. He didn't, he was fine. Like, he, sure, he was good, but he was fine. You are still, if your best hitter on that day is Paul Goldschmidt, we need to have a conversation because there's no way Nolan Arenado gets up there, does nothing. I don't, like, Donovan did nothing. I don't want to hear it from this team. You're not competing. Your pitching was bad. Your hitting is bad. I don't know how they think they're going to be this big competitors. And I was really praying on the Dodgers' downfall. I really was. Maybe I was like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Cardinals will put up a good fight against the Dodgers, and I don't have to hear about Ohtani. I don't have to hear about the contracts. I don't have to hear about anything. No, the Cardinals blew it, and they ruined my opening day. So thanks,
Wow,
Cardinals, and thanks
ruined
every
your opening day.
sports writer that said that they were going to be great this year. You suck. Thanks. I had to watch the Dodgers win.
Wow, that's really that was that sounded personal,
It was
honestly. I didn't
uns.
even realize that Goldschmidt had all three hits for them today or on opening day. That I mean, yeah, that's as bad as it gets right there, and they got smoked. So,
All I
and
want to see is the Dodgers collapse, and I can't do that
right,
with a team like
exactly.
the Braves.
I still think Yamamoto's not going to be that good, so
I think that too.
maybe there's
If he
that,
hits the
but
Cardinals all season, though, he'll be good.
yeah, I don't know. I was kind of drinking the Cardinals Kool-Aid too, thinking that they could come back, but not off to a good start. My loser of opening day, and this is just going to go to an entire not team, I'm going to go organization, Oakland A's. Oh my God.
Good one. Good
Anyone
one.
see the pictures from opening day and how many people were there?
Yep.
Not like nobody. It's so depressed. Like opening day, you usually get some sort of a crowd, and they got nothing. Just awful all around. They announced the like attendance at 13,000. Not true. No
I
way.
think I saw some graphics that said like the 2005 A's opening day crowd was 45,000 or something like
Oh
that.
my God.
And now it's 13,000 or whatever. And I think even like yesterday it went down significantly from opening day to the second game. So,
There's no
yeah.
recognizable faces in that lineup. It's a bad stadium. Ownership doesn't try. I mean, it's just so upset. It just keeps getting, you think it can't get worse for the A's, and it just continuously gets worse and worse. So I think if I had to chalk it up to a whole team, it's gotta be the Oakland A's. But I think like we can leave it at that. If there's any other topics and losers we want to bring up, I mean, does Jeff McNeil count as a loser on opening day? Because he's kind of just going at Rhys Hoskins, and Hoskins is kind of just like flexing on him right now. So.
Yeah, I would say another team that didn't impress me was the White Sox, but that's like a normal thing. I don't think they're like a loser for that. I feel like that's just their MO.
I couldn't believe watching the Angels game. I could not believe Aaron Hicks was hitting second.
Yep, that's a good point.
I
Yep.
was my jaw dropped. I thought I couldn't believe it, because considering how bad he was on the Yankees last year, and he was solid on in Baltimore too, but he's your two hitter. It's gonna be a bad year for
He's
the
the big
Angels.
big piece that they need to pair with Mike Trout. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe they're
Watch. Have a
stars in
year.
the outfield. I don't know, but whatever. Baseball is fully back and we're all excited, but I think that's all the time we have for today. You can catch Nosebleeds on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Shout out to Bradley Byrne, our producer for today's episode, and let's just see how the rest of the season plays out. From Grace McCarron and Maddie Bamonte, I'm Brian Raybacks. Thank you so much for listening to Nosebleeds today. The Nosebleeds podcast is a production of WFUV Sports.
Thank you.